Hello and happy Friday. I'm Coy Wire. Thank you for joining me for another special summer Friday edition of CNN 10. Today is Friday, June 13th. And while you may be trying to avoid sidewalk cracks, black cats, or breaking any mirrors on this notoriously spooky and unlucky day, I've got some news for you because did you know Friday the 13th may actually just be a big old school marketing scheme? You see, there's this long list of possible reasons why Friday the 13th is considered unlucky, most of them from ancient history. One of the most common, the biblical account of the Last Supper, where 13 people dined on a Friday just before Jesus was crucified. It then evolved into a notoriously unlucky day in famous works of literature, folklore, and cinema. Old heads out there remember this guy. But one group of people made it their mission to prove there is nothing to fear about this date on the calendar. In 1936, a group of 13 men in Philadelphia gathered at a local restaurant to celebrate all things, quote, unlucky. And the trend continued into the 90s. In Chicago, in New York, even London, they walked under ladders with umbrellas open indoors. They smashed mirrors. They spilled salt, trying to prove that they'd be just fine. The groups were founded during the Great Depression, and members knew the press would be there to get their antics on camera, so that would create publicity for the restaurants and gathering spots they chose. All right, now to our lead story of the day. All of you know that the main goal of our show is to make it a conduit for what's happening in the world around us. And our main goal is to do that with no opinion, no slant, just facts. And that brings us to the biggest news event out of the U.S. this week, the immigration protests in Los Angeles. Now, let me be clear. The reasons these protesters have taken to the streets are divisive. And I encourage you to have discussions with your peers about the various reasons we'll start to lay out for you. Like I say, in almost every show, my job as a journalist is to tell you the what, letting you decide what to think. So, that being said, here's what's happening in Los Angeles this week. Friday, June 6th, protesters began to gather at a downtown LA courthouse after several people were arrested at a clothing factory. Under the U.S. Constitution, the First Amendment guarantees the right of citizens to peacefully protest in public spaces and express their views, as long as they do so without violence or disruption beyond legal bounds. In this situation, while many protesters did express their concerns peacefully, there is no doubt that some people became violent towards law enforcement and destructive to public and private property. Over the next two nights, police officers began to respond to demonstrations. CNN obtained video of multiple instances that show protesters vandalizing buildings and cars and throwing objects at officers who used shields to protect themselves. Days later, a curfew was put into place, and police say they've initiated mass arrests of demonstrators refusing to leave the downtown curfew zone. Police say they have arrested nearly 400 people since Saturday.
To the public, we fully support your right to peacefully protest, but let me be absolutely clear. Those who choose to incite violence, engage in vandalism or graffiti, or attack officers will be arrested. There is no tolerance for criminal activity under the guise of protest.
Like I said, this is a divisive topic, no doubt about it. So we're only going to show you what our reporters saw on the ground in Los Angeles and let you make up your mind about what's happening. Kyung La filed this report exclusively for CNN 10.
Hey everybody, I'm in downtown Los Angeles, and this is the center of where all of these protests have really been happening, where there are a number of federal buildings, a detention facility that's drawn a lot of attention from the entire country, but also protesters here in Los Angeles. So let me explain what you're looking at. The people who you see behind me, these soldiers, they are indeed soldiers, California National Guard. They've been federalized by the President of the United States. The governor of California has not wanted this. And so now there's a dispute, a face-off between the guardsmen and then, as you look over to the sidewalk, the protesters who are on the street, who are on the sidewalk and on the street. What we have experienced, what we've seen are direct physical clashes between some very angry demonstrators and the guard, as well as the Department of Homeland Security, where there's been pushing There have been shields used as they tried to keep some of the crowds away and the driveway clear so vehicles can come in and out of this detention facility. Every time a car comes in, every time a bus comes in, for the past few days, people have been rushing them and trying to block it. So that's been sort of the challenge. Now, the protesters here say the frustration is that they don't want this. They don't want these soldiers here. They don't want ICE raids in this city, and they want that to stop. The governor has said he would like different options, but right now, this is what's happening in Southern California. What law enforcement is faced with is it's not just the people you're seeing behind me, but it's also the LAPD, the Los Angeles Police Department. They've had to try to keep everybody safe from the people who are here exercising their First Amendment rights of free protests and expression to also people who are driving on the street. And then another thing a lot of people are wondering about is how do reporters who, you know, there's a lot of us here, a lot of reporters here, photographers as well, the photographer who's shooting this video exchange that we're having, and then my producer, Norma.
Hey.
This is Norma. So how do we protect ourselves, Norma?
Well, first of all, we have our bump hat, which really is to protect our heads.
So if something hits you on the head,
yes.
It's hard.
Correct. And then we have these goggles, which are meant to protect our eyes from any gas or any other...
Tear gas specifically has been a problem.
Yes. And then we have, of course, this helmet, which is for more dire situations. But we haven't had to use this helmet, by the way, you know. And, you know, another important is our snacks, because we need to stay filled up for the long days, and water.
Because there aren't a lot of opportunities to grab a break. And then there's also this.
Yes. We have our mask. Yes.
No, we haven't had to use that.
No. We've been going with our regular mask just in case, but yeah.
Thank you, Norma. And tear gas has been an issue. It's a way of crowd control. It's a non-lethal device used to disperse crowds, because when you get a lot of people together, that's when there are problems. But now, the fourth day in a row that I've been here, things are much calmer, and the hope, at least in the city, is that that will continue.
Pop quiz hot shot. Which noble gas is used to emit an intense burst of light for use in flash photography? Neon, helium, radon, or xenon? If you said xenon, say cheese. A sealed glass tube is first filled with xenon gas, and when a high voltage electrical discharge is passed through it, the gas is ionized, creating a big flash of light. Four British climbers have become the first to ascend Mount Everest after using xenon gas to acclimate to the different environmental conditions. Usually, climbers just spend time at the base of the mountain, letting their bodies get used to the higher altitudes and thinner air. But this takes weeks or even months for the body to adjust. But this group of mountaineers, they were able to scale the peak less than 5 days after leaving London.
We did a combination of hypoxic tents. That's a tent basically at your home, in your bedroom, that simulates higher altitude. You sleep in these tents for a couple of weeks before the expedition. And the second component was a treatment with a noble gas called xenon. That's a medical gas that is used in anesthesia for 75 years. And they get this treatment that we have been developed over the past 5 years, especially for mountaineering. And the xenon gas has the effect in the human body. It helps to protect the body for high altitude sickness, and it enhances the acclimatization. All of these four guys are ex-special forces from the British military, so they are very fit athletes, but still they have to undergo a very intensive training program to be ready for this mission.
All right, a happy update for you from a story we told you about last week, and a wild ride for a wild animal, Ed the Zebra. He escaped from its owner at Christiana, Tennessee. It was finally captured after almost more than a week on the run. The final mission to recapture Ed looked more like a Navy SEAL military mission. They deployed a helicopter, even drones, when the super duper striped hide and seeker was spotted in a pasture on a farm last weekend.
Oh yeah, there we go.
Got him. Dang, Zebra. After capture, he was airlifted and then carried to a trailer for safe transport home.
I didn't know what it was initially. I was carrying something on a long rope or whatever it was.
The local sheriff's office tells CNN, Ed was successfully reunited with his owner. Today's story getting a 10 out of 10. You've got to be kidding me. A stowaway kitten who is recovering after a 3-week journey at sea. This calico was found inside a shipping container that arrived in Minnesota after an apparent 3-week trip from China. Local TV stations report the kitten was discovered when the container arrived in a St. Paul suburb.
It's incredible. She's really scared. I mean, I can only imagine 3 weeks in a container without food or water.
Officials say the kitten was dehydrated, but it has since been recovering at a local humane center, which already has a foster home lined up for this fearless feline, which doesn't yet have a name, but is currently being called Stowaway. Meow, that is awesome. All right, superstars, almost time to go away. Follow me at Coy Wire on your socials for some more updates about our summer shows coming up. And very important, this Sunday is Father's Day. So write a note, buy your father figure his favorite candy bar, or just tell him you love him and that you're thankful for all the love and support he's shown you over the years. Your small gesture will go a long way. You're more powerful than you know. Play that Friday music, not air. Our shout outs today go to Mr. Morgan and all our friends at Furnace Brook Middle School in Marshfield, Massachusetts. Happy last day of school. Yes, please. And holy moly, Johnson Youth Center in Juneau, Alaska. Your art project is absolutely incredible. I love this one. Telling you the what, letting you decide what to think. And this one, shout out to my old NFL days. Who's that dude with the big old neck? Listen. Thank you for making us part of your day. And fun fact, did you know that the city and borough of Juneau is larger than the state of Rhode Island? The more you know. Got knocked down 10 times, stand up CNN 10. And this one? Oh yeah, there it is. Well done. All right, go on out, make someone smile. I'll see you right back here for another CNN 10 Summer Friday next week. I'm Coy Wire and we are CNN 10.